stop over in Europe someplace?
No, I do need a haircut. You're right. No, like I'm gonna go to Europe and get my haircut. Let's stop the hair comments because we have got a ton of things to get through today. I am so pumped for today's guest. I'm mostly pumped because I've been hearing about these guys for a long, long time, and it's so exciting to finally have them on the show. Before we get started, we got Jason Basel with us from Shop Junior Golf. Jason, what's up?
What's happening?
We got Les Bailey from Back Nine Media. See, I almost screwed it up, but I
You got
didn't.
it right.
I know, you should write that down, like the dates that I get it correct. But then we have, sorry, I don't want to talk about you and what you're doing at Back Nine Media. I'm more excited about our guest. Dedication is a good word, and crazy is a good word to explain what our guests today have gone through. But versus me explaining what it is, I'm going to introduce you to Jim and Pat from CanAmathon. And it's funny because about 20 minutes ago, I didn't even know what CanAmathon stood for, but we discussed that before we went live. So, guys, welcome to the Friday Foursome.
Are you talking to us right now? Well, thank you.
Yeah. This is all about you. This show's all about you guys. So,
okay.
You guys have over 61 days done some pretty crazy things. So versus me explaining what you guys did, tell us what CanAmathon is and what it was all about.
Well, I'll start off. Is that all right?
Yeah,
I usually
right.
ask my wife just, first just... before I do anything.
He likes to talk. Yeah. I'll just correct him.
But I just got, we were actually in Pennsylvania visiting her family, and I had a, it's in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep, and I started, instead of counting sheep, I counted all the golf courses I played in my lifetime. That was 10 years ago, and actually that was 11 years ago, because that's when we come up with this. And I was counting golf courses I played, and I come up with about maybe 300 golf courses, you know, and you know, I'm old, so I played a lot of golf courses. But anyway, I said, man, yeah, and then the idea hit me, why not play? But now, how many states did I play in? That's what I said. Well, I've only played in 24 states, as I counted them, and said, why not hit them all? So then I said, well, you're doing that why not hit the 10 Canadian provinces? My dad was Canadian, so, and we threw in Washington, D.C., so that made it, if you count them up, add them up, like I just said, that's 61 places. Anyway, I mentioned that to Pat in the morning at breakfast, and she sort of rolled her eyes.
My eyes roll, I know.
Something.
But anyway, we worked on that for all winter. We planned the whole thing, and you know, we had to get courses and a route to you know, follow and stuff like that. So we. And come August 18th of 2005, we were on the road, we didn't think we'd make it, but.
So that might be the cool. I've got this is a two-part question because I just thought of one. Has anyone else ever done this that you know of?
Not that we know of. Some people have done 50 courses.
Try harder.
But not day one day after the other.
That is.
When we were in Anchorage, your first day, they said, we had some guys come through here called themselves the Geezers, and they were a bunch of old guys like us, but from what he said, they were going to try to play all 50 states, and so whether they did or not, I don't know, but and I guess there might have been a few others, but...
No, that 50 is nowhere near as cool as 61, and to have done it in 61 days in a row, like, that is just a feat that needs to be in the Guinness Book of World Records as far as that's concerned. So out of all of the courses you played, what was your favorite and your least favorite?
I knew you were going to ask that, so I have,
of course I have to ask that.
Well, my favorite, though, was our last course, which was Pearl Country Club in Honolulu, and that had just everything. It is just every view from every hole was just perfect. And we could even see the Arizona from some of the holes. You could see it through the trees. And it was just the layout of the course is beautiful. And the people working there were just great.
I'm assuming you know what the Arizona is, a battleship that sunk in the war.
Now you want to know my least favorite.
Uh-huh. I'm as excited for your least favorite as your favorite.
That had to be New Mexico. Because they had everything torn up, and they were redoing it for the,
University of New Mexico course we played. It's just north of the Arizona border. University of Southern New Mexico.
Southern.
And it looked like it was a good golf course, but we had to we had to dodge piles of dirt and everything else around there. And you say, why didn't we go to another course? Well, our route is sort of scheduled over there. We got to play, man, you know. And then we got places to go and things to do, you know. So anyway, but we got around all right. We played. We had a score, and it was all right. Besides that, it was free. So.
Sorry, Jason. I'm going to step in because I was going to have you ask your first question, but he said the word score. So what was, okay, your lowest score and your highest score along the way? Do you have those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jim, you've got them on your paper. I think it was a 90. Was it?
Well, my lowest score was let's see, it was 70. I know I was 79, and that was. And the highest score was the very very first day in Anchorage Golf Club, which is a beautiful golf course, by the way. And I shot 97 that day, but man, we'd been flying all night and all that stuff, so that was our toughest day, really, the first day.
Okay, yeah, first day's the hardest one. Okay, Jason, I'm done interrupting. Go ahead, ask your first question.
Well, that was my first question. Thanks, man. Stealing my thunder.
Ask your second one.
So logistically, what was the hardest thing about this trip?
Let's see, where was our all? Oh. The toughest thing, we played a golf course in northern Nevada called, what the heck's the name of that? I forget these courses now, but...
There's only 61 of them to remember. You can't remember that?
It was...
That was 10 years ago.
A White Pine Golf Course in Ely, Nevada, which was a pretty nice course. And then we'd have to drive the whole length of Nevada, and we're going to play a course right in northern... We crossed the border into California. And we're going to play a nice course there. And then we called the guy on the cell phone, and he said, well, I know you're scheduled, but the Greens Committee decided to take this day to aerate all the holes on the whole golf course, and they got the course closed. I said, oh, geez. He says, well, there's a lot of courses in California. I said, yeah, but we need one on the border here. I'd love to drive over to Pebble Beach and play it and come back. You know, that would wipe out the whole trip, so we had to drive another 150 miles at nighttime, right along the Colorado River, and it was up and down and round and round. There's fog in there, but that was the toughest battle. We got there about midnight. We didn't even have a motel, did we? So, we probably would have slept on the greens or something. But anyway, that was our toughest battle right there, really, because we tried to.
So, at any point during the journey, did you ever worry, though? Like, I mean, were you so dialed in? Like, were there ever flight delays, or was there ever a case where you didn't think you were going to make it?
Well, the only flights we had to worry about was our first flight. The one going to Anchorage, and we had all kinds of time in the world to do that, because we gave ourselves a...
So you drove then, everywhere?
Obviously to Hawaii, but we drove down the very first day from Grand Rapids, Michigan, down to Cincinnati, Ohio, and then stayed in the motel there that night, and then flew all the next day to get to Anchorage. So, but another problem we have with flights is we don't pay for them. Bill's brother Ken is a Delta Airlines pilot, so we fly free. But
if there's a seat,
you got to it's standby. So we were pretty lucky. And after we got to Hawaii and come home, we didn't care, you know. If we can't get a seat coming back after that thing's
you're
over,
stuck in Hawaii. Oh darn!
That a bummer.
Be a lot of people say, "What'd you come back right away for?" I says, "Man, we've been on the road forever, so here we
are." Well, and I mentioned this before we went on air. On your website, it lists like the itinerary in day 1 through 61, and I love how at day 62 it says home.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Home. Les, I know you got a question about Hawaii.
Yeah, you've taken two of my questions so far.
Oh, sorry, I can't help it. I'm so enthralled by this story.
You just went through it with the momentum there. Pat, walk us through how he sold you on doing this.
Well, yeah, we're all taking notes.
I like to play golf. I like to travel. And first of all, I did roll my eyes and think, no. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, that might be a good deal because I'd be driving and golfing, and I wouldn't have to cook, wouldn't have to clean.
You sound like my wife.
It was more of a vacation for me.
Actually, I sold her with seven words. Do you want to stay home alone?
So that was the sales spike at the end, huh? The close.
That's too funny.
Jason, back to you, and then we're going to get into some greenskeeper.org questions.
What's the craziest thing that you saw on your trip?
Ooh, good one.
Well, I'll tell you what the craziest thing was.
Or anything that falls in that little category.
Our eighth day after playing golf, were talking to to some friends that we met on the golf course, and we played through with them, and they were asking us about the trip. So we got out our little notebook, which showed all of our courses that we're going to play and everything, and talked to them for about 15, 20 minutes, and they left. We put our golf clubs in the van, and both of us got in the van, and we started driving. And all of a sudden, Jim looked out the rearview mirror, and he saw our notebook with all of our reservations, all of our paperwork, flying off the back.
Oh my goodness. See, we're joining people on top of the car.
Just put it up top of the car.
Loose leaf notebook beside you.
So he slammed on the brakes. We got out, and the two of us are running around gathering all these papers.
Down in a ditch. Some of them are soaked.
People are going by honking their horn and saying, "Woo, hi." They didn't get out and help us pick up the papers.
Yeah,
that was our scariest.
That probably would have knocked us if we hadn't noticed that. Say I just keep driving along. Hey, I'd say, what'd you do with the notebook? You should go, I don't know. You had I don't know what the divorce courts are like in Canada. That was up in Quebec. I remember could have done it right there.
That is funny. So if you did it today, it would all be digital. It would be on your phone. You wouldn't need the loose.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to ask another question before we get to the greenskeeper. I only had one question, but these just keep popping up. So out of all of those 61 days, the weather couldn't have been perfect from day one till day 61. So what weather conditions did you play in that were unfavorable?
Well, we hit the end of the Hurricane Katrina, but that was in Canada, so it was just a little bit of rain. But we also had in Mississippi, we played one of the courses that the hurricane went through, and it took out 600 trees from the golf course.
And this is trees like this.
Yeah, big trees.
They had the wood all chopped and sawed up like they're storing it up for the winter fireplaces or something around there. But it was.
And then the one other piece of weather we had, fortunately we had our heavy jackets and hoods and everything else, because Oklahoma, you wouldn't think it was going to be that time of year. We near froze.
That was about early October.
It was in the 30s, so we made it through there.
The guy said, "You really don't want to play, do you?" I said, "Man, we got to play."
He said, "You got a choice."
Courses around here are closed because that. Well, another problem was, and you know, being in the golf business, when they get frost, they won't let you on the golf course, and I don't blame them, you know. So we had to wait.
There's nothing about that.
Yeah. Well.
Said what?
I said Rick knows nothing about that.
Well, another thing about this, the Hurricane Katrina, we were going to stay with a golf pro friend of ours in Baton Rouge, and I called him and I says, "You're still counting on us?" He says, "Oh, you can't come down." He says, "My daughter's house in New Orleans got destroyed, and she's got kids, and they're all living with us now." He says, "We got no room." No room at the inn. And then I says, "Well, we'll get a motel." He says, "You won't get a motel around here, any place." He said, they're just filled up with people coming down there people that were washed out of their houses, as well as other people, volunteers coming into the state to help." So we stayed way up in far northern Louisiana as we could. We found a motel up there, and we had to get a golf course up there too, because of course we played. We're going to play down in Baton Rouge. Was washed out, so that was our only problem. With Katrina hit us in two places. It hit us down there where it happened, and it hit us way up in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia and Quebec. So
Wow, that is just crazy. So greenskeeper.org is the sponsor of the Friday Foursome, and what he does is he sends all of his members the guest and lets them provide questions, and we got a ton of them. We're not going to be able to get to all of them today, but one of them, Six Pez, is one of his members, and he wanted to know, dare I ask, how much did this trip cost?
Yeah, I got it.
He's got it. Of course he's got it right there.
Well, we got here's a
it blew off the card out of here.
And this is another one here. And this is a big one here. This is all the courses we played, all the scores we had, and course ratings and all that stuff. And then and from this we and then we put this in this big book. I don't know if Bill showed it to you or not, that we put together here.
It's no, I haven't seen that. That is awesome.
And it's a pretty thick book.
If you go to Can Amazon, you'll find it.
And then in the back, we got what we're telling you. We could have just sent you these discs, and we got my DVDs right there, and the whole thing. So, and we'd sent these out to about, of course, all our family, but also to people that really treated us super well out there. More, everyone did, but these guys are the ones that, you know, gave us everything free and. Yes, sir, no, sir, and all that stuff. Not that we deserve it, but, you know.
Well, while you're looking for the how much it cost here, I can tell you we stayed for 24 nights with friends and or relatives.
And that probably helped the cost down a little bit.
Yeah, right across the... And we had spent two nights on airplanes and two on the ferry boat, taking the car across the ferry boat on the, with bunk beds and... And there were four bunk beds on our side, and then we had these two high school girls or something. They took the top bunks, and it was really interesting.
What a cool, like, so what I immediately want to do is book one of these trips. Have you ever thought about, like, being kind of a trip planner? If somebody says, hey, you know, I want to do hashtag CanAmathon 18 and do it in a few years to plan it out. Like, have you ever thought about doing that?
Well, yeah, but we don't have a lot of years left to fool around with that stuff. You know.
Hey, we got you. You're only as old as you feel.
That's it. You can, yeah, this actually, the total American dollars we spent were $7,743 for the whole thing.
Wow. That is way cheaper than I thought you were
going to. Well, we got the airplane free, bear in mind, and we got half of our lodging free because we freeloaded off friends and relatives. And when you get freeload for your lodging, you also scrounge a meal or two off of them, too.
That's it. Oh, yeah, they want to feed you if you're there. So Johnny GK is another member of greenskeeper.org, and he wanted to know if you're still friends with anybody that you met along the way or people that you played with or, you know, friends that you made along this journey.
I'm trying to think. Well, of course, our friends we had, but, well, maybe they're not friends anymore after we freeloaded up. I'm not too sure about that. But the people in New York, we played this third day. We kept in touch with them for a while, and we got a lot of emails. I emailed my guy in Seattle in Spokane, Washington. He kept in touch with us. That's been 10 years now, sort of fallen by the wayside, and I don't know that. One woman, they wanted to play with us. They were all working. When you come through Oklahoma, we want to play with you. And because they'd
done, like,
they'd done a similar thing themselves, but not to the extent that. And so, but we got down there, and they were, one of them was sicker. Anyway, we didn't play with them like we were going to. But no, we really haven't kept in touch with anybody that we met on the trip that I can remember, that I can think of.
So I've got a quick question for you guys. If I was going to plan a trip, what would be the one advice that you to plan something, what you guys did?
Well, first of all, you got to get a map of the USA or both of them, and you don't go to the middle of a state. You go right along the edge of a state because that's the only way you can, you know, someone wrote us an email. We still got it. He says, you guys are crazy. You're not doing this. I mean, he says that it'd take you 3 days to get across the state of Texas.
Yeah.
You know, you can appreciate. And I said, yeah, but we go along the north side. Well, we go to play Oklahoma, and then we just bounce across the border and play a course in Texas. And then we bounce back again, and you go down and you play in Missouri. So actually, our average mileage per day was only about 230 miles we drove every day because.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
See, when we were in Rhode Island, we stayed with friends there for 4 days, the same people.
Just so easy to get to.
But they, Rhode Island, you know, we just step out the door and play Rhode Island, and then we go about 10 miles and play in Massachusetts. And then you got Connecticut right nearby, and then the last day we left and played New Jersey. So yeah. You got four states and like driving nowheres, you know. Just,
you go farther going to the grocery store.
Yeah, so that's what we try to do. Yeah, right. You try to stay on the edge of every state and not go inland. Like I mentioned, Pebble Beach. People say, why didn't you play Pebble Beach? Jeez, man.
Yeah,
it's way over there, way back, you know. Then we got a call from a lot of people about it, want to interview us. Who was that?
Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres.
She wanted to have us on her show. Well, this is when we were in, what, 4 or 5
days? Well, we were in New York at that time, and she's in California, right? And we don't talk to her. We talk to her manager or something like that. He called. He says, well, you can come out here, and we'll get her on the show, and you can leave. I said, you can take a couple of days off while you fly out. And I said, man, that defeats the purpose of the whole trip. we didn't make it because we had to see Ellen, you know. So we didn't do it.
They didn't invite you to come back when it was done, though? You would think.
Well, when we were all done, I did call a guy from next to last day, and he says, well, you guys are sort of old news right now. And that's what he said. So maybe he was upset because we turned him down. I don't know.
Nobody will ever be old news for the Friday Foursome, I will tell you that. So, Les, let's go back to you.
Yeah. One of the questions I had when I read your blog was how many golf courses did you play in a day? I mean, what is the most you played in a day?
One a day.
One a day, that was it, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So we always had to be, as soon as we played, we had to be on the road again. As Willie Nelson says, on the road again, you know.
So you didn't play like twice, once early in Rhode Island and late in Massachusetts in the same.
No, well, I tell you, I didn't tell the full truth there, because when we played Nebraska, right in the northeast corner of Nebraska, we went in there, and then we got the radio on, and there's a huge weather front coming in, and it was going to rain all the next day, all day. I mean, bad storms, and so we. As soon as we leave Nebraska, we go into South Dakota, and there was a golf course right there, and it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. I just we said, well, we'll see if we can get on this course, and we did. So we played that. So we did play 36 holes in that one day there. And then the next day, it did rain like crazy, so we had no chance.
I'm going to say, I hope it rained.
Yeah.
I hope it rained. Jason, back to you, buddy.
Let's see. So probably for my last question, I'm drawing a blank right now. I had it on the tip of my tongue just now. All right, come back to me because I can't think of what I was going to ask.
So, again, one of the members of Greenskeeper was, I would assume that it's just based on the route, but is that why you picked to start in Alaska?
Well, we started in Alaska because we know we didn't have to worry about getting there, because we got there the night before, but... And we could delay the whole trip at that point, but once we don't get someplace else, then we got a gap in the trip. So we, and Hawaii was the same way. Yeah. It didn't matter after we were done. You know, we can't get on a plane, big deal. You know, so.
Oh darn! Yeah, the whole stuck in Hawaii thing. I would almost want to be delayed.
So Jason, are you good now? How long after the trip was over did you take off? How long was it before you played another round of golf after you finished your trip?
I don't think we played at all after we got home.
The next week, I think.
Maybe, but it was only, we're home on October 20th, so we don't have too much weather anyway to play in here in Michigan. That's why we routed our trip through the north first. We went all across Canada, northern tier states, and then we ended up down in the southern states. So we did have bad. A real cold day in Oklahoma, I'll tell you.
Cold to me is 85. Les, back to you.
Yeah, I think I probably know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You finished your trip in Hawaii, right?
Yep.
Why didn't you stay and play some more golf in Hawaii while you were there?
Lay on the beach.
I mean, Ricky went to Hawaii and didn't even take his golf clubs with him.
I didn't play around the golf.
sounds like a cheapskate, but actually nobody offered us free golf after that first round.
That's a good point, though. Like, out of those 61 rounds of golf, how many of them were taken care of? Like, when, as you were going, did you tell them about the story, and were you taken care of at a lot of places?
We wrote a letter to everybody, tell them we're going to be there on a certain day if they didn't have us, you know. And it's a lot of country clubs. A lot of country clubs won't let you play if you're not there with a guest, you know. And then we put, I don't know how we worded it. We asked them what they could help us. Yeah, we asked them what the green fee was. And some guys, and then we had a return postcard, and they sent it back to us, and someone said, play free, you know, and then others say, we'll have to charge you for the cart. Which sometimes they don't own the cart. Somebody else owns the carts, you know, so they can't. So, but we had 22 completely free, you know.
That's pretty good.
And then there were some others. We had about 10 that we only had to pay the carts.
Yeah.
And everything else, the golf was free. So
that's really cool. Jason, final question. I told you when we started this, half an hour is going to fly by, and our back nine, once upon a time, used to be a rapid fire round of questions, but some of these are pretty in detail. So, Jason, final question for you.
So somebody brought up the Guinness Book of World Records. Have you guys reached out to them? Like, something that can go in there?
We reached out, all right.
But they didn't reach out to us.
We wrote to them before we left, even. And they said, well, they got certain rules and regulations, you know, that it's not how many pieces of gum can you chew in a day or something like that. It's one of the rules that they said you got to play a course at 6,000 yards, which is most courses are, but I played. And they don't even consider her. They don't consider females. They just it's tougher.
Not
for
a word.
It's tougher for her than it is for me, really. And we had 8 courses where I played like 5,972 yards or something, because they pair you up. When you get there, you were a twosome, right? So they pair us up with a couple of guys there. And I played the same tees those guys were playing, you know, and. So that we had to send them, Guinness, all our scorecards and a record sheet and a signed document from each course from the pro saying they played and all that, which we sent all that stuff, all documented, and then they sent back, well, you didn't do what we asked you to do to play 6,000-yard courses. And then there's no appeal. They say there's no appeal on this. It's not like so I did write down and say, look, the average of the courses I played were about 6,200 yards if you take all the whole total average, so. Anyway, they rejected us. So.
Well, I was going to say, if you wouldn't have said that, then maybe you had to have appeared on Ellen to be able to be entered into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Les, back to you for your final question.
Well, I've driven up to golf courses before thinking I was going to play golf and found out that they were booked. Did you guys run into any place where you got there and that they were either having a tournament or they...
Yeah.
Were booked up for the day or didn't have a tee time available?
Well, we had this ahead of time, you know. But except that course in South Dakota, because we just pulled in there because we were going to, and they were having a shotgun scramble, 36-hole deal. So we couldn't get on that course till about 5 o'clock or something like that. Then we get on and the course is wide open. Nobody's there. Then.
That's
so we
funny.
Just so you had it yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really, really honored that you guys took the time. I have to thank your son, Bill, for introducing me to you guys and for you taking time out of your day to do this. We have 9 more just fun kind of golf and a little bit of your story questions. Les and Jason, thanks for joining us. But, guys, this is called the Back Nine. And we're going to start with your home club at Sunnybrook Country Club. What's your favorite hole at Sunnybrook?
Well, either of us?
Either one, or if you have maybe both of you have a favorite hole.
I'm going to have to say 6 because I had a hole in one on that
one. Congratulations!
That's my only one.
That's awesome.
That's question number 7, isn't it, Ricky?
I was going to say that's awesome. I'm a guest is taking one of Ricky's questions.
I deserve it.
I would say hole number 11 because it's a hole I can reach. It's a par 4, but I can reach it. Some of those par 4s I can't reach. So I can,
yeah.
No fun if you can't reach a green.
No kidding. So, did you ever think of trying to replicate this with countries, not just
I thought of it seriously, but when we got back, we couldn't possibly do it now, of course. But
like, I mean, Europe, I mean, could be.
I was thinking of continents. I want to play 7 continents and 7. Well, they don't have any courses in Antarctica.
Make your own.
6 continents and, well, there's free airplane travel, but, you know, but, well, we never did it.
So along the way, you had to have eaten in some good restaurants. Do you have any favorite restaurants that you ate at throughout this journey? The free ones.
the fast food places. We could run in there and get something to eat.
Burger King.
What's that? How they spell that? McDonald's or something like that? You know?
That's funny.
The Golden Arches.
So I know we may not have an answer to this, but care to guess how many golf balls you lost along the way?
Right. Go ahead.
I don't know how many I did, but I lost golf balls every time I went in the water, which was very often. But otherwise, I don't hit the ball that far, so I didn't. If there's no water there, I didn't have any trouble.
I'd say you could make an average of maybe 1 golf ball a day, something like that.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
You hook one off balls or something.
Did you ever wake up and just say, you know what, I am sick of playing golf? Like, was there ever a day where you were just like, you had to struggle to go play?
Well, that's what that pro asked us in Oklahoma. Yeah. Aren't you guys sick of this game?
You just kept going, huh?
Okay, well, we got no choice. We've come this far now, man. Yeah. You couldn't take us off here with anything, no.
So outside of your trip on the PGA Tour, what is your favorite PGA Tour major championship? You got 4 to choose from.
Well, I would say, what do you think? I'd sort of like the PGA, I guess.
That's a good one. A lot of people say the Masters. I feel like the Masters is the most picked. I don't know. I like the PGA Championship. And I like the Open Championship because it takes us overseas. And speaking of overseas, your son travels a lot. Did he join you for any of these rounds of golf along the way?
He was over there, so he didn't join us. But our daughter joined us. She flew down to Atlanta and joined us for our 4 rounds. 4 days she went with us. So North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
And then what she did was she dropped us off at Cincinnati Airport, and she drove our van home, and we took off to play Hawaii.
That's awesome. Not for her, but for you. Yeah. So if you could do this all over again, and you were starting from scratch, what would you do different, if anything? It sounds like you did a pretty good job for your first run at it.
Well, we really weren't sure when we started if we could go through with the whole thing and finish, because we might have tried to get some sponsors but to help us along the way. But we could have. Jim had a heart attack a few years before we took off. And I'm a breast cancer survivor.
So we could have raised some money
for
her,
tried
breast cancer or something like that.
But we didn't do that, so we just decided to do it all on our own.
Well, next time, I think that you're going to have about 4 sponsors, and it's going to be fast food chains, it's going to be hotels, it's going to be golf courses, it might be the PGA Tour. Like, we got plenty of sponsors. Well, your final question of your Friday foursome, we're out of time here, but what's next? I mean, my goodness, I hope you have a tee time coming up pretty soon, but what's next for you two?
Well, we just finished our baseball tour, so that was
Wait, what is that? Tell me, what is that?
Well, we went to the year after we did this golf in 2006, yes, we said let's follow the Tigers. So we want to see every stadium in the country. So we when the Tigers are playing, Detroit Tigers.
Uh-huh.
And so that took us 30 stadiums. So
how cool is that? All in one season. That's
No.
That was through.
That was 9 years.
Okay. I was like, that's as impressive as the golf trip.
You couldn't do that because the Tigers don't play every team every year, you know.
So. Yeah.
The National League, they don't play every year. The teams on there, so we couldn't do that.
Well, very cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said before we went live, this will be on YouTube by the end of the day. It'll be in iTunes and an iTunes podcast, and I'll make sure you get that link before the end of the day today. So hopefully we can get this shared all over the place and share your story with as many people as we can. And I know your son's gonna make sure that we share it as well. He's been a huge asset to helping make this connection possible. And, you know, normally I end the Friday foursome with something that Matt Rust likes to say, which is make less bogeys, but I'm not going to do that today because I am him, and he's on vacation, apparently, this week. So he doesn't get that luxury because he wasn't watching. But I just can't thank you enough for telling your story. And I normally let, when I do interviews on my personal blog, I let the artist have the last word. So do you have any final words for our viewers at home? Let's end
that way.
You just
said make less bogeys. Is that what you said?
He says make less bogeys.
I would modify that slightly and say make it less double bogeys.
I'm going to end on that.
That is
triple. As Jimmy says, make less double bogeys.
Yeah.